Dr. Pam Popper, 614-523-8716. Good morning, everybody. Bariatric surgery used to be reserved for people who were morbidly obese and who were at such risk due to their obesity that immediate intervention was necessary. In other words, patients who were so sick that there was no time to try a program of dietary excellence for weight loss, even if the person had access to the information. And we know that actually most people don't have access to the information. Big problem in the medical field. As is the case with so many medical interventions, more and more bariatric procedures are performed each year, and the criteria for qualifying for the procedure has been relaxed to the point that even adolescents are being offered the surgery as a solution to their weight problems. And I read stories and articles in medical journals all the time talking about doing this on 15-year-old patients, which is just almost incomprehensible to me. Well, the more uses that you can identify for a surgery or a drug, the more surgeries can be performed and drugs prescribed, and the more money is generated. So not hard to imagine that bariatric surgery is now being touted as a way to treat type 2 diabetes, since most people with type 2 diabetes are overweight or obese. Recent articles in medical journals have touted the benefits, which include glycemic control, and suggested that maybe this is the way we should be approaching obese diabetics. Well, I totally disagree, and there are several reasons. One is that almost everybody loses weight and improves their diabetic condition or reverses it. We're talking about type 2 diabetes on a well-structured plant-based diet. Of course, the type 1 diabetics, we don't get rid of the diabetes, but we certainly improve their health outcomes a lot. The problem is that most overweight diabetics are not being taught this diet. They're being taught strategies that have been proven to be ineffective, like portion control and calorie counting, so it's no wonder they fail. In fact, you've heard me use this statistic before, and you can look it up. It is more likely that a person will recover from stage 4 metastasized lung cancer than to lose weight and keep it off using the traditional strategies we use in this country to help people lose weight. Now, a recent article looked at the effects of gastric bypass, gastrectomy, and gastric binding on patients with type 2 diabetes a year after the surgery. And the reason I'm reporting the findings of this article is they demonstrate the fact that while in the short term some diabetics or overweight people may show some improvement, in the long term, actually not so good. And there are a lot of side effects too. I won't get into that on this call. But anyway, these researchers use the American Diabetes Association's criteria for evaluating remission, which is hemoglobin A1C levels below 6% and fasting glucose levels of less than 100 milligrams per deciliter. The study showed that 40.6% of the patients who had gastric bypass were in remission, 26% of those who had the sleeve gastrectomy were in remission, and only 7% of those who had the gastric banding. Not such a great track record. The study also showed that most patients remained obese 1 year after the surgery and that the use of medications was still high. 29.4% of those who had bypass, 63% of those who had sleeve gastrectomy, and 83% of the patients who had the banding procedure. In other words, not such great results. And this is a very expensive procedure with a lot of potential side effects. And the results look even more dismal when we compare them against the results of studies in which a low-fat, plant-based diet was used. It just is a terrible idea. What disturbs me is the number of medical doctors who are willing to recommend this procedure to patients in spite of its limited success. Most patients aren't told of the side effects or that the right diet has been shown to resolve their issues. This article and others, unfortunately, are unlikely to change the situation much, which is why we have to really continue this push for public education so that the patients know about these things before they get in the doctor's office. And I've always said that the problem in medicine, the biggest overarching problem, in my opinion, is the lack of informed consent. Patients don't know the better options that are available, and they don't know how bad the options are that are being recommended to them. So that's all for now. Have a great day. I will speak with you again on Monday, continuing with our Monday through Thursday series, since Friday tends to be a crazy travel day for me or a film shooting day or whatever else is going on in my life. So anyway, that's all. Have a great day, great weekend. Talk to you Monday.